We were Sunday mornings. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6 is where we will be. And since I didn't do it Sunday morning, I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to read this entire passage of Scripture from verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter, because it's really almost one continual line of thought that the apostle has, with the exception of the end being the conclusion of his letter and his salutations to end it up and wrap up the teaching. But I'm going to include that in there, and we'll get to that as we go. Starting in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, the Word of God says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love." And, of course, the passage that I'm going to be dealing with is back in verse 14. And I'm only going to touch upon half of this verse tonight. Hopefully we won't be here long. I know I say that a lot, and I'm wrong a lot. And if I am tonight, I apologize. But I'm going to take the armor of God piece by piece over the next several weeks. We introduced it Sunday morning, and we spent quite a bit of time on those first three verses because I think we need to understand the gravity of the implications that those verses hold over us. So this morning we're going to be dealing with the first half, this evening, we're going to be dealing with the first half of verse 14. It says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." Let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, that tonight you would help me to expound your word. You would give me grace, Lord, to preach the notes that I've written, Lord, but grace also to come away from them when necessary, Lord, and speak what's upon my heart from this verse. But Lord, let me stay faithful to the text, Lord, that your people may be fed from your holy, inerrant, and infallible word. For Father, it's by your word we're fed, we're strengthened, we're helped, and we're led, because it is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. God, make us what we are not through your word. Help us to know what we do not know, and to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, Sunday, we began to look at the warfare of the Christian. In verses 10 through 13, Paul introduced us to the reality of the war that we're in, and he gives us instruction on how to fight that war. We looked at the fact that if we live our lives as the kind of Christian that Paul describes in the book of Ephesians, that we'll become a target of the enemy and we'll experience warfare on a grand scale. We'll be a target of persecution. We're going to suffer trials and tribulations all throughout our life. This is a fact that Scripture is clear on, and a fact that Scripture states over and over and over again. I know that there are myriads of preachers and thousands of churches across the United States that will teach you something contrary to that. But if they teach you that, then they're just being unfaithful to Scripture. And they're teaching you lies. The Scripture is clear that if we desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, then we'll be persecuted. We were given to believe, but we were also given to suffer for His name's sake. And if you look all through the Word of God, even the book of Acts, when the church began to grow, they were persecuted, they were mistreated, and they suffered greatly for the sake of Christ. But they didn't complain. They didn't cry about it. They rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer for His name's sake. The Scripture's clear on the fact that we will suffer. We'll go through trials and we'll be persecuted because we're in a war. And we looked at the strength that we'll need to fight the war that we're in. Remember, we don't have that strength to fight in ourselves. And we've proven that over and over and over again in our lives that we don't have that strength. The strength that we need has to come from outside of us, and it comes from the Lord. It comes from Christ. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. His is the only strength that's capable of upholding and even advancing in this war that we're fighting. He's the pinnacle of power, the epicenter of might. And it's His unmatchable and transcendent strength that we're to trust in and rest in and find ourselves in. And it's the only strength really that's sufficient for the battle that we'll find ourselves in. His strength is the only strength sufficient. And as we're strong in the Lord, we're then to arm ourselves with the weapons that God has provided us. These aren't weapons that we find on our own or that we even fashion with our own hands, but they're weapons that our commander says that we need and that our commander provides for us. And he promises that these weapons will bring us through the battle victoriously. This is the armor of God. This is the armor of God that he's given us. He's provided each piece. He's fashioned it in a way that will cause it to protect us and keep us and guide us through the hottest battles that we'll find ourselves in as we walk through this earth. We're to be armed in this way because we've a deadly foe that set himself against us. He's a scheming and deceitful, wicked enemy that'll stop at nothing to drag the Christian down and humiliate and defeat him. And who's this enemy but the devil? The devil. The fallen angel that was once the most beautiful, powerful angel in the heavens. His rebellion has resulted in his defeat. His exile from heaven and his fall, he took with him a third of the host of heaven. And these have become the demons, and they roam the earth, doing the devil's bidding and waging war against the kingdom of God and against the saints of God. They're a formidable force, and they're bent on destroying all of those who belong to God and all of the works that God has ordained in this earth. You know, the Word of God describes the devil as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It also says he disguises himself as an angel of light, so as he might trick the unwary into deception. Scripture says he uses his schemes and his lies to cause believers to stumble and to drag them down into the doldrums of defeat. He's a wicked enemy. He's a trickster. And he'll use whatever means he can to get you to stumble and take you off the path. We must not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil, beloved. We must be a discerning people, a people who practice and exercise the discernment that God gives us people so that we can know the truth and not be led astray by lies. We must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We must know our enemy and we must rest in the strength of the Lord, put on the full armor that God has given us so that we may wage a good warfare, so that we may fight a good fight and do everything, and after doing everything, to continue to stand firm. Paul tells us here that we're to resist in the evil day. And what is the evil day? Every single day that you live here on this earth is the evil day. The evil day began in the garden when Eve was deceived and Adam took the fruit that Eve ate and ate it himself and entered into rebellion and sin against God. That's when the evil day began. And every day since then has been more evil than the day before. And every day that we're here on this earth will be the evil day until we die and go to the Lord, or until the Lord returns to gather His bride to Himself. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Stand firm in the strength of the Lord and put on the armor of God. That's the command of you, saint of God, from the Word of God. And this is the message that Paul's given us. This is our manner of warfare, and this is the enemy that we fight against. He's going to attack us if we desire to live for Jesus Christ, and we're going to find ourselves in the throes of temptation. We're going to find ourselves being persecuted, suffering, going through trials. But as we go through these things, we can be comforted to know that God has provided all that we need to be successful and to be protected from the enemy of our souls. He's given us His strength. He's given us His armor. Tonight we're going to start looking at that armor. We're going to start seeing what that armor means. We're going to look at and we're going to examine each piece as we go through this passage, and we're going to see how they all individually provide for us and how together they equip and fully enable us to resist and to stand firm. And as we look at it, I want you to remember this. I want you to keep this in mind. God created it. He designed this armor. This armor belongs to Him and is given to us for our good. And He has declared that we need every piece of it.
He's declared that. It's His armor. He designed it. I mean, think about it. Who knows better the tactics and the schemes of the enemy than God? And knowing the tactics and schemes of the enemy, God has told us that these are the things that we will need to be successful and to be victorious in the fight against Him. So shouldn't that entice us to pay even closer attention to each piece of the armor and to make sure that we put it on? I want you to think about that for a second. God created the devil. The devil rebelled against God. There was war in heaven in which God prevailed, and God ejected the devil and his angels from heaven. He knows the schemes. He knows the tricks. He knows his tactics. He knows everything about him, and he's designed this armor just especially for us to wear so that we can be victorious in our fight against him. Why in the world wouldn't we be enticed just by that knowledge to want to learn all that we can about this armor and put it on so that we might be victorious saints and walk in victory and not defeat? So tonight we're going to begin to look at this armor, and the first thing that we're going to look at is the belt of truth, and we find that in the first part of verse 14. It says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." So Paul gives us, first off, again, his overarching command in this passage, and that's to stand firm. To stand firm, we're to be unshakable and unmovable in our commitment to the Lord. We're never to quit, never to lay down our arms, and to run the race that we're in to the finish. To the finish. He's talking about being absolutely committed and absolutely steadfast to the Lord, standing firm through every trial and every temptation and every hardship, through all the hottest battles, and then when it's all over, when the smoke clears, when the battle's quieted, to keep standing firm. Stand firm through the battles, and stand firm through your rest. And then when the battle heats up again, you just keep standing firm. Just keep standing firm. And in order to stand firm, we're to stand with our loins girded with truth. Our loins girded with truth. What in the world does that mean? That's language we don't use anymore. We don't use it anymore because we have pants nowadays. So therefore, we don't need to gird up our loins any longer in the physical sense. But spiritually, we're still called to gird up our loins with truth. You see, I better explain what that means. In ancient times, a Roman soldier wore what was called a tunic. And the tunic was essentially a square piece of cloth that had holes cut in it for head and holes cut in it for arms, and it was draped over the man and was essentially a dress made for a man. Kind of the forerunner of a kilt, I guess. Only it was a full body dress. The soldier also, in addition to this tunic, he wore a belt around his waist that was usually made of leather, but other times it was made of cloth, like maybe a sash or something that was used to tie around the waist. But when it was time for the soldier to go to battle, the soldier would grab the four corners of his tunic and he'd pull him up underneath that belt or that sash and tighten that belt around him and essentially make his dress into a pair of shorts. This freed his legs up. It made it easy to run, to fight, without having to worry about something being around his legs that would entangle him and trip him up and make him fall. This was essential to the soldier's preparation for battle, this girding up of his loins. And when you think about the battle, don't think about modern battle where we take rifles onto the battlefield and they fight from bunkers and trenches and behind buildings from hundreds of meters away from each other without ever really seeing their enemy face to face. Back in these days, you were up close and personal. You were within arm's reach of each other. It was hand-to-hand combat, and it would be a hindrance to you if you had to fight your enemy with your dress blowing in the wind. I mean, imagine, think about it. One strong gust of wind, your dress would fly up, you'd get distracted, and it'd be all over. Or maybe your enemy would grab a hold of that piece of dress that flew up and wrap it around your head, and then you're done. Not good. It's a bad deal. It'd be a bad day for you. So they'd cinch that tunic up tight underneath that belt. There'd be nothing that was loose that could be pulled out, nothing that could get caught on anything, but their tunic would be cinched tight and under control close to them and would be secured. It would be secured. They'd be prepared to run to the battle and they would be ready to fight. The girding of the loins was also necessary to the ordinary citizen of that day because in they didn't necessarily wear the tunics that the soldiers wore, but they wore the long robes. I think that they used to be called togas. I know that many years ago in another lifetime, I used to be a frat guy and we would have toga parties, and they're not worth mentioning, but kind of the same image. But that was the clothes they wore every day. A sheet just draped over them. So if they had hard work to do, or if they had a journey that they had to go on, they would have to do the same thing. They would have to cinch these long pieces of cloth up tight around them so that they wouldn't be a hindrance or an encumbrance to them, so that they could work, so that they could travel, and they wouldn't have to worry about getting tangled up or falling or being slowed down by all the flowing material around their legs. And if you think back through the history of the Word of God, this imagery was used by God in Exodus chapter 12 when God was preparing Israel to eat the Passover meal. He told them in verse 11 this, "Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste." You see, they were about to leave Egypt. And they were about to leave Egypt fast. And it could be that even while they were eating this meal, that God would call them to leave the nation of Egypt, and they could have nothing that would hinder them, nothing that would trip them up, because when God said go, they needed to go. So they were to eat prepared and committed to the command of God that He was going to come and rescue them. It was also used by the Lord when He spoke about His second coming. In Luke 12:35, Jesus said to be dressed in readiness, which if you literally translate those words out in the Greek, it means to have your loins girded. To have your loins girded. And Peter also used this language in 1 Peter 1:13 when he told us, "Therefore, gird up your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And Peter was telling us here to gird up the loins of our mind, to be ready for action, to be ready for battle, to be ready to go when it was time to go. The girding of the loins was necessary preparation for battle. And any soldier that knew that he was going to go into a fight was sure to secure the garments that he wore in his belt so that these garments wouldn't hinder him, wouldn't encumber him. It was a sign of seriousness about the fight ahead and a desire to ensure that nothing would distract or hinder that soldier in his battle. It was a complete and a total commitment to the fight. When he girded up his loins, it was time to go and get busy. It was time to go to work. It was time to go to war. And in the same way, Christian, we're to be serious about the fight that we're in. We're to be serious about this war that we're in. This isn't just some kind of metaphorical thing that God is telling us in the Scripture. We are at war, and we need to get serious about the war that we are in, because it's a deadly war. It's a devastating war. And it is a war that has numerous casualties. So when you think about this tonight, don't think about it flippantly. Don't think about it metaphorically. Think about it literally, because it is a literal spiritual war that we are in. And we need to be ready. We need to be girded up in our loins. And we need to be ready to go when God says to go. We need to be ready to fight when God says fight. We need to be ready to work when God says work. We need to be ready to go when God says go. And that belt that we're to gird up our minds, our loins with, that belt is truth. It's truth. The Greek that's translated in truth here is aletheia. And I've got a really good friend, pictures on the wall back there, Pastor Jacob, a Sojourn church in Belleville, Illinois. His daughter's name is Aletheia. And this is where he got it from. It means truth. It refers to the content of that which is true. And what it means is that truth is all that truth contains. And it's all that truth means. And this is the belt that we're used to gird up our loins. So what truth are we talking about here? Well, it's the truth of God's revelation to us in Scripture, obviously. His truth is essential to us in this fight against the schemes of the devils and against the armies of darkness. Without knowledge of correct biblical doctrine, we'll be blown around by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pipe, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. If we don't know what the Bible teaches, anybody can come along and take us anywhere they want us to go. The knowledge of God's revelation in Scripture is essential to your survival in this war. Paul warns Timothy of this very thing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He tells Timothy that people will fall prey to the doctrines of demons. And these demonic doctrines have their origin in the deceptive spirit that Paul described to us in Ephesians 6, 12. Those rulers and powers and world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. They set about to deceive the hearts of men and draw them away from the truth of Scripture. They lead men to deny biblical authority, to embrace things like personal revelation. This kind of thing leads to all sorts of heresies, all sorts of false practices. You see it everywhere. False teachers masquerading as teachers of Christianity. False teachers masquerading as Bible teachers. All throughout the world of Christendom. But understand this, beloved, that every false religion, as well as every aberrant practice in the church, every half-truth, or every outright lie, for that matter, comes from the enemy, and it's designed to overthrow God's church. And the only sure way to counter these things is that we be protected from these things by having our minds and our loins girded in the truth of the Word of God. It's the only way we can be protected from it. The Word of God is the protector of our hearts and our minds. It'll keep us grounded. It'll keep us steadfast in our faith, and it'll keep us in right doctrine. I mean, you think about it. If you don't know what the Word of God teaches, then you'll let anybody come up here and stand behind the pulpit and tell you anything that they want to. And as long as they wrap it in Christian-sounding words, as long as they say Christian phrases and Christian language, then you're going to buy it hook, line, and sinker. If you don't know the Word of God, if your mind is not wrapped up in the Word of God, if your heart is not wrapped up in the Word of God, then what's going to stop you from going wherever your feelings and emotions want to take you? It's imperative that we as the church be completely absorbed in God's Word, that we be saturated in His revealed Scripture so that we can be protected against these deceivers, against these wolves in sheep's clothing, against these mockers of everything that is good and right and perfect. It's imperative that we know Scripture, that we study Scripture, that we read it and we understand it, that we avail ourselves to Scripture being preached from the pulpit as often as we can. It's imperative to us, and it's absolutely necessary in our lives. The Word of God is the protector of our heart and minds. It keeps us grounded, it keeps us steadfast, and it keeps us in right belief and right doctrine. We're to gird our minds in God's truth, in the Word of God. But you know, Paul probably had something else in mind here as well. You see, and Paul tells us here to gird our loins with truth in this passage. But later on, he tells us to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And some theologians, and I figured this out as I studied and read all the different views and perspectives on this passage of Scripture, they've said that Paul's talking about the truth of God's Word. And some have said that since he doesn't use the definite article "the" before the word "truth," that Paul's talking not about God's Word, but about an attitude of truthfulness. An attitude of truthfulness. But I think they're both probably correct. Because I don't think you can have one without the other. You can't have an attitude of truthfulness and a life full of truth if you are not in the Word of God. They go hand in hand. I think Paul's probably talking about the attitude of truthfulness that means that we have an attitude of genuine commitment to the truth of the Word of God. But I also think that in order for us to have this attitude, we must first be filled with the Spirit of truth. We have to be saved. We have to be in Christ. You see, because only a Christian can gird up his loins for battle. Only a Christian can wear the belt of truth. The unsaved can't do it. If you're not in the Lord, you can't do it because your mind is darkened. You're committed to your sin rather than to the Lord. You're committed to your wickedness rather than righteousness. You're committed to your father, the devil, rather than your father, God. And you're committed to lies and deception instead of truth. But when we're saved, we're filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, we're filled with the truth. And Paul is commanding us then to be committed to and to walk in the truth that has been revealed to us through His Scripture, to live our lives in total commitment to His Word and His call upon our lives. He's telling us to let the Word of Christ dwell within us richly and to be controlled and guided and moved about in obedience to His Word and to His commands. You see, when the soldier is about to fight, he secures his garments to ensure that everything that would distract him or hinder him from his commitment to that battle has been taken care of. Just like a runner. When a runner prepares to run the race, they throw off everything that would slow him down. You ever watch the Olympics? You ever watch the marathoners, the sprinters, the long-distance runners? They don't wear much, do they? Some of them, it's almost embarrassing to watch because they wear so little. But could you imagine an Olympic runner standing at the starting line in a pair of boots and a parka and long pants with a hat on? Could you imagine them popping off the gun and saying go and then them taking off in that business? It wouldn't make it very far, would they? It wouldn't make it very far because it'd all tangle up in their feet and they'd fall down, or it would be so heavy upon them and it would ride so hard upon them that they would run out of energy, run out of strength, and they'd eventually have to bow out of the race. They wouldn't be able to finish. But beloved, this is what it means to gird up our loins. It means to have self-discipline and commitment to the Christian life. To conform all that we are, all that we have, to what God's Word says that we are. It means to not allow the daily cares of this world and this life to distract you from obedience and adherence to the Scriptures. It means to being renewed in our minds in order to prove what is the will of God and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It means that we're to put aside all of the sins that hinder us and all of the distractions and cares of this life that drag us away from our commitment to the Lord and to His Word and to His church. This is what the writer of Hebrews had in mind in chapter 12 when he tells us this: lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Everything that slows down spiritual growth in your life, everything that entangles your feet when you're running, everything that distracts you from the mission and the work that God has given you to do, everything that causes you to trip up and stumble, you're to cast off. Everything. Could be anything. Could be something that in and of itself is good and right for you to do. But if it takes away from your commitment to the Lord, if it takes away from your commitment to truth, if it takes away from your commitment to God's people, you're to cast it off. And the sin that you hide, secret, hidden sins, those sins that nobody knows about, that you tuck so deep underneath your pillow or your mattress, and you bring them out when nobody's looking and when nobody's around and you pet them and stroke them, those are the things that you need to get rid of. This is what the writer in Hebrews was understood and what he was telling us in this verse. And this is what Paul is telling us: to gird your loins with truth so that you're ready, you're committed to the battle, you're ready to go when God says to go, you're ready to fight when He says to fight. We're to cast aside anything that would make us waver in our absolute commitment to God and to His truth. To throw it aside. To gird up our loins instead with the truth of God. We're to be girded, beloved. Secured. Cinched up in His truth. With our garments tucked securely in. With no clumsy or careless things of sin or the world dangling around our feet or blowing in the wind. Nothing that'll get caught by the enemy and thrown in our path or over our head to distract us from what is true and right. We're to be committed to and to know the truth of God's Word and to obey God's Word and walk it out every single day in practical ways. Listen, beloved, Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. Scripture declares that. And he'll say anything. He'll do anything. And he'll spin anything any way that he can if it'll cause you to turn aside from God's truth and stumble and slow down in your commitment to Christ. He'll do whatever it takes. He's tireless in his efforts to draw you away from Christ. He'll do whatever it takes to cause you to waver. He'll do whatever it takes to cause you to stumble. And if there's anything in your life that is not cinched up in the truth of God, any area in your life that's not under the power and the control of God's Word, or any area of your life that is not dominated by truth, the enemy will grab it, he'll exploit it, and you'll soon find yourself tangled up in your feet, causing you to fall, causing you to fail. Or it'll be pulled over your head, blinding you, causing you to run headlong in disaster and destruction. The enemy of your soul wants you defeated, and he will do whatever it takes to make that happen. He'll do whatever it takes to limit you in your effectiveness for the kingdom of God. But God, in His kindness, in His love, and in His mercy, has given to us all of the tools and all of the weaponry and all of the strategy that we need to win this fight. And it starts by girding our loins in truth. We have a fearsome enemy. We've got a scary enemy, and he'll do whatever it takes, whatever he's got to do, and he will work tirelessly to trip you up and to make you fail. But God has provided everything that you need to win this fight. Commit yourself to the truth. Commit yourself to God's Word. Let it saturate your heart. Let it saturate your mind. Wrap yourself up in it and cast off everything that would hinder you, that would drag you down, that would slow you down, and that would cause you to fall and fail. Cast it away. Cast it away. And gird your loins in truth. So, beloved, have you done this? Have you done this? Are you still letting your mind flop and flow in the winds of this world? Have you brought everything under the control of the truth of God? Or do you still have those loose areas in your life that distract you from true commitment to Christ? Listen, beloved of God, God's given us these truths so that we'll be able to stand firm. He's given us these truths so that we'll not fall. He's given us these truths so that we can fight and be victorious. And without these truths, there's no hope. There's no hope for victory. Well, maybe you're here and you think that you don't need these things, that you can stand firm without having to worry about all this armor, girding up your loins business. Maybe you think you're just that strong. Well, I want to remind you what the Scripture says. It says, be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. If you think you're strong tonight, you better be careful. You better walk such a fine line. You better tiptoe around because you're in danger of a terrible fall. You see, the most danger that we have in the Christian life is when we feel strong. But yet the Scripture says that when we're weak, that His strength will be shown through us. We must gird our loins with truth. We must be a committed people, faithful people, a disciplined people, steadfast in biblical truth, saturated in the Word of God. This is what it takes. So, beloved, I'm going to ask you, and then close, will you gird your loins today? Will you be ready for this fight? Will you wrap yourself up in the truth of God and cast aside all of those things that hinder you and encumber you and hold you back? All of those distractions that would pull you away from commitment to the Word of God? Will you be victorious in God's battle? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that Your Word contains for us. And we thank You, Lord, for the gathering together of Your people, Father. For it's where we grow with one another. It's where we fellowship with one another, Lord. It's where we learn to live life together. Father, I pray for Your people tonight, Lord, that You would give them such a commitment, such a desire and a hunger to be completely saturated in Your truth and Your holy Word. That they would walk in it, that they would trust in it, that they would believe in it. That they would follow it, that they would obey it. That would filter every thought, every desire, every intention, and every plan that they have. That they may be found surrendered to You, to Your will. Father, I thank You for the grace that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. The gift of God, so that none of us may boast. We thank You so much, Lord, for the cross. And we thank you for eternal life in Christ. We bless your people tonight for the glory of your name. Amen. I told you I was going to be short, didn't I?